All right. Good evening. Welcome. Good to have you here. This is our fourth and final session for this module, what we are calling Intermediate Charismatology. And I want to build on where we left off last week, where we left off in terms of confessions. All right. Because I think I want to reemphasize the importance of that and what happens when you make a public confession. And there were a couple other passages we didn't quite get to. That's fine. I don't kill myself with guilt if there's verses I wanted to get to and ended up not getting to, because typically that was the Holy Spirit keeping me out of something that would have just, it would have been a mess. It would have been confusing anyway. So I don't kill myself with guilt over that. But there are a couple of verses that have to do with confessions, though. Romans 10 talks about, with your heart, man believes, and with the mouth, man confesses. And there is something I want to stress in that. That's a salvation passage, but it still makes the difference between the internal belief and the external confession. Okay? And if you get nothing else out of that Romans 10 passage, you can at least get the difference between the internal belief and the external confession. Confessions are verbal. Confessions are actually spoken. They're voiced. Now, they might be spoken mentally in your silent prayer before the Lord when you're confessing your sin, but confession in your ministry is public. Jesus Christ made the good confession in the presence of Pontius Pilate. Timothy made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And so when believers at Austin Bible Church make the good confession, it will be in the presence of many witnesses. It will be a stand-up and be identified gift, ministry, and effects as the Father provides for them. And so that's an element I want to be able to stress here tonight as we, again, we're going to do some drawing on the board and we're going to brainstorm a little bit tonight. I'm going to try to get a little bit more interactive tonight than we have in the previous sessions. All right? We haven't prayed yet, though, did we? Have we? No. So let's start with prayer. Mighty Father, we do thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the resurrection of our Savior. Thank you for all of your goodness poured out upon us, grace upon grace, Father. Our cup overflows, and you provide. We thank you for that faithful provision. Father, I want to thank you for this series of classes and for the attention you've drawn us to. You've focused our minds on this realm, and a lot of believers are becoming more and more zeroed in, and in some cases, some of our brothers and sisters here have actually locked in to their gifts and potential ministries. And so, Father, we pray that as we proceed forward, that more and more will become convicted. Father, we are commanded to accomplish the work you've sent for us to do. We're saved unto good works, which are prepared beforehand. It is your will for us to function in our gift. And if we remain out of your will, then, Father, we realize that there will be consequences there. So we are in prayer that you would guide and direct us and open our eyes, the understanding of our eyes, to our gifts and our ministries as we watch you accomplish the effects. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Keep coming back to the distributions. When we have varieties, again, the term there are distributions. They are distributed. They are given. There are distributions of gifts, but the same Spirit. Distributions of ministries in the same Lord. Distributions of effects, but the same God. That would be the Father in context, who works all things in all persons. And so the distributing, you see down in verse 11, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. And distributing is a great word. It'd be like if I had 50 gumdrops or whatever, and I distributed them. I started handing them out, right? To everybody here in this room, I'm distributing them. And I might distribute one, or I might distribute two, or however many. Not your choice, my choice. I'm the one distributing them. That's what we have. Gifts, ministries, and effects, they're all distributed. They're all distributed. Now, the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. Who distributes the ministries? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Because ministries are either open doors or closed doors. And whose business is that? The head of the church, Jesus Christ. That's right. So the Holy Spirit provides the gift. He distributes the gift as a part of the salvation package. Jesus Christ is the one who distributes the ministries. And who distributes the effects? The Father. That's right. And do we have a verse that says it's the Father who's at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure? A Philippians verse. Right. One of those. Yeah. All right. This is the sanctified, just as it says somewhere. Okay? If the author of Hebrews can use that, I can use that. Just as it says somewhere. Okay? Now, we've locked in on gifts quite a bit. Are you tired of seeing them listed up here? Yeah, that's right. They didn't have chapters and verses. They needed a medieval Roman Catholic frustrated monk to give chapters and verses to every. Yeah. All right. We have four communication gifts, and we have seven serving gifts. 1, 2, 3, 4. How did that happen? I was in the army. I can count to four. All right. Is that hard to read? You don't like purple? Purple is my favorite color. Okay. Four communication gifts. Teacher? Pastor teacher? How's that, Casey? Pastor teacher? Can you read that? What else? Two more communication gifts. Evangelist? And exhorter, encourager, comforter, paraclete. This is the toughest one to translate because of... because of the variety of parakletes, because of the parakaleo encompasses all three, to exhort, to encourage, to comfort, and it may be a combination of them all. All right, seven serving gifts. Faith, or faith worker, giver, helper, mercy shower, server, minister, leader, administrator. There you go. Are there other ones? Have you had other pastors give you other lists, give you other gifts that I haven't listed here? Prayer? As a gift. Do they have a scripture verse they attach to that? Okay. I believe... I think prayer belongs in the ministry category. That's what I'm going to put up here next. These are all gifts. Let's now talk about ministries. And let's talk specifically, I guess we could differentiate between internal and external, in-house, outhouse, except outhouse ministries is kind of not so glamorous maybe. Say, we're in an outhouse ministry. No. But my in-house, I'm talking about ministry that takes place around here. Okay? Sunday school. Is that a ministry? It's a ministry of Austin Bible Church. Okay? Missionary. Where does missionary fall in? Let's leave these as open questions for the moment. Let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about missionary. Yeah, is there a spiritual gift of missionary? Is there a spiritual gift of deacon? Is there a, you know, there's a lot of things that we want to make sure we're plugging them into the right category. All right. Yes, deacon is an in-house ministry. I believe prayer. I put prayer right here as a ministry, an in-house ministry of the local assembly. Now you can pray at home, absolutely. And you can be very diligent praying at home. In fact, I know some elderly folks that are homebound. They don't get out very often. They don't get to church as often as they used to. But boy, they have an ongoing prayer ministry that's pretty ferocious. All right. So this could be in or out, depending. When I think about ministries out, I think about teaching in a nursing home, for example. Did you know Casey does that on Thursdays? You still doing that? Okay. You have something opens up. Again, it's an open door opportunity. What about a nursing home ministry? A jail ministry? This would be more out. I don't know if you want to mark these as in or out, but anyway, you get the idea here. Okay? Now, there are... how many of these are there? countless. That's right. Scripture actually counts the gifts. There's a finite number of gifts, 20 of them total, that are defined by explicit statements of the text. Maybe some others that aren't explicit, but pastors over the years have inferred them. And I understand why they have in different areas, and there's others I'm not so sure about. Hospitality is a big one. I read in a lot of books about the gift of hospitality. And people have told me, I have a gift of hospitality. Well, I don't see a verse that explicitly says that. I find there's an attitude where to be hospitable to one another without complaint, but that applies to every believer. Every believer is supposed to be hospitable to one another without complaint. Does that mean that some believers are supernaturally empowered above and beyond through manifestation of the Holy Spirit with a giftedness for hospitality? Or is that actually a application of showing mercy? See, so I think that hospitality is a ministry that somebody with a mercy-showing gift would naturally fit into. Okay? Okay, let's talk about the pulpit ministry. The pulpit Bible teaching ministry. The PBTM. What I want to do by listing these out, and like I say, this is not exhaustive because you can't. You can't exhaust it. Missionary. And actually missionary in a lot of different applications, because there are evangelism, gospel preaching missionaries, there are medical missionaries, there are other missionary works out there that are not preaching the gospel evangelism ministries, but they are missionary ministries. Can you think of any besides the ones I just spoke of? Building, construction, yeah. The Missionary Aviation Fellowship, the MAF guys, that's right. They serve an amazing function. There's the radio ministries that actually broadcast behind the Iron Curtain, for example, get gospel teaching into Red China and places like that. So there's a variety of other missionary endeavors that are not, you just can't have a cookie-cutter missionary kind of thing that's one-size-fits-all. There's an endless variety there as well. I think Ralph LaRosa and Jim Myers are two of the most faithful ministries I know, and those two guys are pretty different from each other. Both faithful. Been serving the Lord for years and years, but they're not clones. They're pretty different. A janitorial ministry. That's right. And some of that could be administrative. Some of that is simply helping. Some of that is server minister. It is absolutely, it's a ministry. That's right. Because an open door has presented itself. And by open door, we're talking opportunity. Something needs to be done, and a person at a place at a time is there, and the Lord opens that door. So a library ministry. Hospice. I didn't hear you. Music ministry, absolutely, music ministry. Security. The blessed bouncers, right? Show the man the door. David used to point and his mighty men would go down and lop off somebody's head, okay? Now that's Old Testament now. We don't do that, but if you know, pastor makes a motion there, then the headsmen go hunting, and individual will escort people from the premises. All right, now what I want to show you here, and these are in no particular order, but I want to show you that there's not a one-to-one correspondence with gifts and ministries. There is not. I'll say that again. There is not a one-to-one correspondence with gifts and ministries. All right. Yes, sir. Oh, very much, yeah. There are gifts that are possibly more naturally suited. I mean, the obvious one is that pastor teachers are obviously suited for the pulpit Bible teaching ministry. Would you not say? I think evangelists would be very suited for, say, a gospel, a gospel preaching, say a street tracts gospel ministry. You know, somebody with the gift of evangelist in a street gospel tracts distributing ministry. But any believer of any gift could engage in that ministry. What gift do you have to be a deacon? What gift do you have to be a missionary or to janitorial or nursery or Sunday school or what have you? Remember, we said last week, do you have to have the gift of teacher to have a Sunday school ministry? Not at all. That's right. Any believer with an adolescent to maturity status ought to be able to teach the basics to children, whether or not you have a gift of teaching or not. See, there's a key phrase. Let's 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'll give you some sword drills here. See if you do any better than my teen class does. No, don't ask about Antarctica. 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, 2. And who do I want to pick on? Doug. Pick on Doug. Read 1 Timothy 3, 2. Able to teach. Okay, there we go. Here's a ministry. I haven't even put it up here yet. Overseer. And I'll put it over. And we could put deacon. The overseer then. Remember, pastor teacher is a gift. Overseer is a church office or ministry. And elder is a maturity status. Elder is a maturity status. If you have the gift of helper, can you grow to a maturity status as an elder? Absolutely. Probably faster than a lot of other folks. Remember, we're here to serve. So the overseer. The overseer. Now here's the thing, where certain gifts are naturally suited. And in particular, the pastor, teacher, and the evangelist, because they are listed in Ephesians chapter 4, they are equipping gifts. Not only are they communicating gifts, but they are equipping gifts. And they are designed specifically for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And so those two gifts naturally are suited to fit into ministries above and beyond what other gifted believers would do in those ministries. All right? I've known churches that were pastored by evangelists. Does that work? Can an evangelist pastor? Actually, he can. Do you have to have the gift of giving to give? Do you have to have the gift of evangelism to give the gospel? Do you have to have the gift of shepherd to shepherd? No. Husbands can shepherd their wives. Parents can shepherd their children. Evangelists can shepherd a flock, but not to the same empowerment that a pastor teacher can shepherd a flock. Make sense? Because the pastor-teacher gift actually is empowered, the P part in PT is empowered to shepherd above and beyond what other believers can do in their shepherding. So so that happens. You can have an evangelist in a pulpit Bible teaching ministry. You can have an exhorter in a pulpit Bible teaching ministry. But when you have a pastor teacher gifted and trained in that pulpit Bible teaching ministry, that's where you have what's most naturally suited. And it may be that some of these men actually will mature faster, will actually be, because of the heat of conflict, because of the crucible of the iron sharpening iron, that a pastor teacher may be placed into this office of overseer sooner than another gift might be placed in the office of overseer. All right. Now, a quality here in office of overseer is called able to teach. Able to teach. See, to me, this is why it's pretty clear that the office of overseer is not limited to any particular giftedness. Because is it not oxymoronic to say pastor, teacher, and here's a qualification, able to teach? Okay? if he is a pastor teacher or a teacher, then the ability to teach is actually a function of the gift he's been provided by grace at the moment of his salvation. So the able to teach requirement has to be something more than giftedness. It has to speak to maturity. It has to speak to, if nothing else, the maturity status that has reached that point of elder where they can teach, where they are able to teach. Because if they're not a gifted pastor teacher, if they're not a gifted teacher, what if they're a server minister, they're an administrator, they're one of these other gifts, and they've functioned as a deacon, they've been in different ministries for years and years, and now they're going to step into an overseer capacity because of their maturity status as elder. See, it's part of what that able to teach is about. You'll notice everything there in 1 through 7. Just look through that again. Above reproach. That doesn't say anything about a gift. Husband of one wife, literally a one-woman man. If he's a womanizer, if he's got a roving eye, if he's scoping out the women looking for the next one, that's not the guy you want as your overseer. All right? Temperate. All right? Prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine. If he's a drunk, what kind of overseer is he going to be? Well, a drunk overseer, yeah. All right. Pugnacious. There's a good word. Pugnacious. What does that mean? Picks fights. That's right. Picks fights. Yeah. He'll fight at the drop of a hat, and he'll drop the hat himself if he has to. That's. He loves those fights. Gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. If he's just lusting after money, what kind of preacher is that? What kind of overseer is that? 21st century American, that's right. That's the health, wealth, and prosperity televangelism kind of model, right? Devouring widows' houses and soaking up people for all their money and things. So all what we see throughout this, every last element here is an element of character. It's an element of maturity. It's an element of growth. It has nothing to do with his gift. Not a thing to do with his gift. And so there are certain gifts that are more suited for the office of overseer. Likewise with deacon, there are character traits of godliness and maturity. And so any believer of any gift can serve as a deacon. George Meisinger last week pointed out Stephen in the book of Acts and Philip in the book of Acts. They were some of the first deacons that were named, the first seven deacons that were named in Acts chapter 6. Stephen, of course, gets stoned and goes to glory, but Philip gets promoted at some point, and he stops being a deacon, and what does Philip start doing? Evangelist, Philip the Evangelist, that's right, with four virgin prophetess daughters, all right? Daughters are hard enough as it is. If they're prophetesses, goodness. You know, dads are always trying to stay a step ahead, and how do you do that if she's a prophetess? All right. Okay, just having a little fun. All right. But the able to teach recognition there, I think, is important, that it demonstrates that that office is not an aspect of a gift. And same thing with Sunday school teachers, that able to teach demonstrates a maturity, demonstrates a growth in grace and knowledge. And any believer with some kind of growth ought to be able to teach children. That's the lowest level of teaching in a local assembly. All right. Other mixes and matches. For example, music ministry. You know, music ministry can be very encouraging. Music ministry can be very instructive, be very teaching. Music ministry can be very evangelistic. There's a reason why Moody and all these guys, these traveling evangelists, Billy Sunday and all these guys, typically when they traveled, they had a song leader with them. They combined music with the preaching. That's how Schaefer got started. Did you know that? Lewis Berry Schaefer was a song leader. He's C.I. Schofield's song leader. And then he starts filling in, doing some of the Bible teaching. And Schofield says, wow, you seem to be able to do some teaching here too. All right? So he goes from song leader to teacher to seminary president. But at his core, the day, you know, his whole life, Lewis Berry Schaefer will tell you his gift was evangelist. All right? So you see the variety of ministries you can plug into. what we're trying to illustrate here. All right, so we have ministries. We got no shortage of ministries, meaning we've got no shortage of opportunities. Yeah, there's stuff that needs to be done. Okay, churches and churches around the world are constantly looking for help, looking for people. But what we want to stress is we're not just looking for committees to fill. We're not just looking for volunteers. We don't want to keep people busy for the sake of getting them busy. Here's the mistake. And this is what Purpose Driven does. I've read their literature. This is what Seeker Friendly does. I've read their literature. All right. It is actually a tactic to involve people as quickly as you can and as much as you can, that it locks them into a church. If you're afraid of losing people, get them busy and get them involved in stuff and then flatter them about what great job they're doing and keep them going. All right? And there is a, I mean, this is worldly viewpoint. This is business and marketing. This is not divine viewpoint. There is a kernel of truth in it, however. And so I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I want to recognize where that kernel of truth is. Because I do believe that active participants in the ministry, active participants in any ministry, will actually have the, I don't want to use feeling because feeling is a dirty word, They will actually have the inner sense that they're a part of it. All right? They will actually have the inner sense that they are a part of the body, which is what we're designed to be in the body of Christ. And that's that sense of belonging, that sense of ownership, being at home. That's right. That if you're simply a spectator, okay? The spectator Christians, the folks that are there and they're simply passive in their church attendance. They listen to the message, they listen to the music, they watch the production, but it's all very passive. Like going to a ball game or going to a movie, it's passive entertainment at that point. You're not down on the field shagging flies, you're actually just sitting out there in the stands chomping the nachos and drinking the beverage of your choice. It's a difference between being a spectator and a participant. Does that make sense? All right? And yes, we should be participants. We should be partakers. Big term, metakoi in the Greek, but partakers. And so as we promote this not because there's endless amounts of work to do, right? I mean, we love the fact, pastors love it when somebody takes out the trash. Because guess what, folks? If nobody does it, who does it? There you go. All right. Cuts the grass. Locks the doors. Turns off the air conditioner. I mean, no shortage of things that need to be done that are done. See? And it's not just the lust for getting people busy. It's not busy work for the sake of busy work. What it is, in Philippians chapter 4, it does. It frees up the teacher to teach. Verse 17. Did you know where I was going? You didn't know where I was going? Verse 17. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. All right? It's not that we need nursery volunteers to change the diapers. We do. But there's an opportunity for ministry. It's not that we need books organized on a shelf. We do. But there's opportunity for ministry. It's the profit to your account. That there is somebody who can actually, by grace through faith, under the filling of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ, organize books on a shelf, or change stinky diapers, or cut the grass, or dump the trash, or all the endless myriad of things that can be done, ministries that can be done. It's not that I seek the gift in itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Because, remember, pastors have to give an account. Actually have to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account. And I don't know about other pastors, but this pastor doesn't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, Lord, Fred here. Right? No Freds tonight? No Freds. All right. I got to come up with a name that's so out there that nobody would ever, some kind of Fred? Okay, well, I know a Fred, though. He's, yeah. Anyway, anonymous believer here is a loser. An absolute total loser. He was not living for you. He was not occupied with Christ. He was not abiding in the Word of God. He never did learn what his gift was. He never stepped into any kind of ministry. That's not a happy report. Because if I or if any pastor has to give that report, what's the pastor saying? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, and then so I say, here's total loser, wasn't abiding in Christ, wasn't using the word, never knew where his gift was, never entered into ministry, never served. And then Jesus Christ says, okay, shepherd, what did you do to train him, to equip him, to motivate him, to guide him, to lead him, to rebuke him, when he continued in prolonging his loser status? Did you rebuke him? Did you teach the word? What did you do? See, so as one who will give an account, the goal is, as Paul says to the Philippians here, not that I seek the gift itself, it's not the deed, but it's the profit, it's the benefit to their account. The fact that here's a brother, here's a sister, here's somebody, and they know their gift, they have found a ministry. Is there a ministry for everybody? Is there anybody that would have no ministry whatsoever? It doesn't seem to make sense. If it'd be like, is there a believer that has no gift at all? Believer has some gift. Every believer has at least one gift. And the idea that there is never a ministry, never an open door, what does that really say? Yeah, that's right. They're not looking. Gifts are given by grace. Can't earn them, can't deserve them. Ministries are assigned on the basis of faithfulness. God will never open a door to a faithless brother. But if you're considered faithful, he will place you into service. 1 Timothy 1:12. All right, 1 Timothy 1:12. It does not say, I thank Jesus Christ who considered me faithful and gave me the gift of apostle. The gift you have is by grace at the moment of your salvation, did not earn it, did not deserve it. But the open door ministries that are presented on the condition of faithfulness. If you are not faithful in little things, you will not be entrusted with many things. If you're not faithful with many things, you will not be entrusted with greater things. All right? Ministries are open doors on the basis of faithfulness. John Eichmann always said two things. Matt knows John. Anybody else know John Eichmann? Listen to John Eichmann tapes at all? God uses two things. God uses prepared believers, and God uses available believers. So you have two objectives. Keep yourself prepared, and if you're not prepared, get prepared, and keep yourself available. Some believers are prepared, but they're not available. God won't use that. Some people are available, all kinds of availability, but they're not prepared. God won't use that either. Consider me faithful, placing me into service, 1 Timothy 1:12. So, as we start to consider, And this is where I'd like to have bulletin announcements phrased, for example, not just the media committee needs help photocopying doctrinal studies and keeping the display cases stocked in the hallway. Okay? That's a true statement. The media committee does need help photocopying doctrinal studies and keeping the display cases stocked in the hallway. If a doctrine is emptied out and the thing's just sitting there empty, well, we can make photocopies and refill it. See? And yet, can we think of it and pray about it in ministry terms? An open door opportunity under the filling of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ is available for a believer who's trained, prepared, and available to glorify Jesus Christ through a work of service. Does that make sense? All right. It's kind of like changing stinky diapers. You can change stinky diapers a couple of different ways. In fellowship or out, that's right. You can grumble. You can moan and groan and complain and be all upset and be angry and everything else and full of pride and whatever else, as if somehow you are so sweet and special and you don't deserve the aroma. Well, who do you think you are? Right? Or, in fellowship for the glory of Jesus Christ, thanking God the Father for ministry opportunity, interceding, saying, here's a little infant. Someday this child's going to need to be hearing the gospel. Someday this child will be old enough at the age of accountability. Pray for this child even now. That's right. Pray for the parents of this child if you're not the parent. If you are the parent, pray for yourself. Pray for wisdom and choices and so forth. And anyway, you can turn that aroma to a sweet-smelling savor before the throne of grace because you're in fellowship serving for the glory of Jesus Christ. That makes all the difference in the world. So ministries, in-house ministries, out-house ministries, the nursing home, jail, hospitals, visitation ministries, Internet ministries. What Warren Dowd does with Grace Notes is a ministry. What spiritual gift do you have to do a ministry like that? It could be any. That's right. And any gift that approaches a ministry like that is going to bring empowerment to that ministry in that regard. For instance, music ministry. You could have five people in a music ministry with five different gifts, and they're all going to bring a different empowerment to that ministry. Maybe evangelistic, maybe encouraging, maybe teaching, maybe what have you. But they're going to bring a different empowerment to that ministry. All right. Now, effects. We're making good time tonight. You guys are quick. Before I move on to effects, let me think about the ministries that we have here. I mean, take a typical Sunday, for example. And there's the pulpit Bible teaching ministry. All right. And who all's involved with that? Pastor teacher. Is he the only one? That's right. Sound booth. Sound booth is involved in that, right? Yeah, doors unlocked, lights are on. There's a lot of people involved in that ministry. The blue and pink bulletin makers, mostly blue lately. But also, what about Sunday night, 6 o'clock? Tonight it was Cliff. A couple weeks it'll be Glenn. Glenn Allen resumes Hebrews. Did you announce that? The book of Hebrews in 2 weeks. Okay. Or I think I got Glenn to commit to 12 weeks, something like that. Anyway, he'll go for two or three months. Yeah, there was a radio ad. Okay, there's a lot of different things. Teaching Sunday school, open door opportunity for ministry there. Now, if a believer has an idea for a ministry, maybe it's something we're doing already, maybe it's something that we haven't done lately or we've never done. If a believer has an idea for ministry, how does that work? Does he need permission? How does he get it started? Does it have to get approved? What does he need to do? if an idea pops into your head, ministry committee, okay, I'm getting some good answers here. There you go. Approach the pastor. Absolutely, approach the pastor. Well, yeah, the authority within. Because remember, the principle is 1 Corinthians 14:40. What is it, 1 Corinthians 14:40? All things must be done in an orderly manner, in order. Right, okay? So, somebody gets a wild idea that they want to teach the 1045 service. And they say, this is my gift, this is my ministry, and the Lord spoke to me, and I'm taking the 1045 service. Really? Now, we might have a conflict there that seems to be working against orderliness. Now, let's say maybe it's not that drastic. Maybe it's something. Yeah. First time visitor, she saw the announcement, said we needed Sunday school teachers, so she volunteered to be a Sunday school teacher. First time visitor, didn't know the lady, didn't know who she was, just off the street. Okay. Other things. Say a believer wants to draw up a flyer, and they're going to pay for it themselves. They've got a one-page flyer about all the wonderful things that Austin Bible Church has going for it. And they want to distribute 45,000 of these to every mailbox in the zip code. All right. Can they do that? Do they need permission? That's a good idea, yeah. Excellent. Yeah, there's going to be wisdom that can be applied. There's going to be, when you talk about the have-tos and so forth, obviously, in volition, human volition, you can do whatever you want to do first thing tomorrow morning, right? You can, and we're not a cult, and no one's going to follow you around, and we can't stop you from doing what you're going to do. But if you want to do it to the maximum glory of Jesus Christ, in a way that gives Him the most honor and the most glory, in a manner that's consistent with 1 Corinthians 14:40, then yes, the spiritual authority in the church ought to approve it or disapprove it or review it, evaluate it, observe the wording, make sure it's there's not something glaring and whatever else that's in there and all the rest. And generally speaking, if it's something reasonable, if it's something that the pastor says, wow, that'd be a blessing. That seems pretty neat. All right. If the pastor has an understanding of gifts, ministries, and effects, and he's not threatened by other ministries going on, then chances are the pastor's going to be real positive to the idea. Yeah. You know, pastors are typically, unless they've got other carnality issues, they're not typically discouraging of people doing things. Unless they're, for some reason they're threatened that somehow it's going to make them look bad, or somehow it's going to step into their turf or into their threaten their authority or anything like that. Some some churches might have that atmosphere, but not this one. All right, not this one. If you tell me that God's been speaking to you and you're really burdened over something, you really just think that you want to have a tap dancing puppet show in North Cross Mall. All right? That you've got this thing and you want to do a tap dancing puppet show in whatever, okay? With a ventriloquist dummy. Whatever you want to do, okay? You get this idea, you've got this passion, you've got this. Now, I might be as skeptical as the day is long, but you know what? If the Lord's calling you, if this is of the Lord, I'm not going to be fighting against God. If it's not of the Lord, nothing's going to come of it anyway. Remember, Jesus Christ opens doors no man can shut. So if Jesus Christ is opening tap dancing puppet show ventriloquist dummy thing? Yeah. If Jesus Christ is opening that up, I'm not going to tell a brother or sister that, nope, can't do that. Okay? So we're going to be supportive of ministry opportunities. If you find a nursing home that wants a once-a-week Bible study, or you find a park where you can do a good news club, or you find that there's something going on, see, you want to do a home Bible study, say, anything like that. The idea of believers that are using their gift, that are pursuing a ministry, that is going to be a very happy report at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'll say, Father, this is a brother in Christ that knew their gift, found a ministry, and was faithfully serving. All right? So, gifts, ministries, and as varied as the imagination can run wild with. All right? Yes, sir.
When you talk about, like, an example of ministry of missionary,
uh-huh.
It seems like there can be a lot of different effects.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you come out of such a ministry, what are some of the effects that come to your mind?
Well, there are ministries, and then there are also ministries within ministries. So, you know, for instance, Word of God Bible Church. You know, Word of God Bible Church is kind of similar to Austin Bible Church. It just happens to be in Ukraine. A little bit different. They teach with interpreters, and they got different things. But guess what? They've got deacons. They've got Sunday school teachers. They've got hymns. They've got, you know, you would attend on a Sunday morning and feel like you were here, except there's no air conditioning and they're speaking in Russian. All right. But they've got Word of God Bible College. They've got other ministries within that one realm. That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of ministries in that particular endeavor. And that's going to be true with any missionary you look at. And multiple effects. Let's talk about effects. Now, effects. Anybody remember the vocabulary from 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Energemata in the plural. And just as gifts are grace things, effects are work things. Energy things, power things, work things, the things that get done. The things that get done. And so, for example, I am a pastor teacher in a pulpit Bible teaching ministry. And boy, what are all the effects that have gotten done today? You know, well, yeah, edification. But think about the prayer meeting effect. Prayer meetings are a ministry, but it actually, on this day, was accomplished, was an effect. And what happened in that prayer meeting? There was intercession for the saints. There was thanksgiving that was offered. There was praise that was offered. There was encouragement that was offered. Instruction that took place. A lot of effects in one single prayer meeting. A lot of effects take place in the prayer meeting. There's shepherding that takes place in a prayer meeting. You guys didn't realize this. But when a shepherd hears a brother or a sister or someone and they're praying and praying and praying, the shepherd figures out what's on that person's heart. It's a big clue. There's other people that never pray, and then the shepherd, you know, has to plant microphones in their house. Okay, that's right. We had a couple of Bible classes. There was effects there. The Word of God was taught. There was edification. There was exhortation. There was rebuke. There was a lot of things that happened. Now, the human being was involved doing what? Flapping his gums, that's right. Yeah, standing vertically and flapping gums, and air flowed, vocal cords vibrated. Yeah. But the effects, who was doing the effects? God the Father was doing the effects, that's right. Holy Spirit provided the gift. Jesus Christ opened the door for ministry. God the Father accomplished the effects. And so 100 believers were present, and whoever, some were encouraged, some were comforted, some were rebuked, some were... all three. Some were confused. But those are effects too. Those are effects too. Trust me, there's believers, visitors, for example, walk out of a church like this with their head spinning and say, what was all that? But you want to know what it does? It says, you know something? I need that. I've never seen that before. That was different. That wasn't like, you know, the little hold my hand and sing Jesus loves me and kumbaya and be a good person kind of thing. There was actually truth to this. This Bible is real. It means something. And so even the effect of total confusion can be edifying, because it can wake a believer up and say, wow, I'm an idiot. I'm a babe in Christ. I need to grow. I don't know anything about the Bible. And that effect, the Father can bring some amazing results about there too. All right, other effects. Again, do we have a list? Do we have a Bible list, a passage that outlines these effects? We've got these verses up here, 4, 5, and 6. Distributions of gifts, distributions of ministries, distributions of effects. And yet, in the verses that follow, the only thing that's spelled out are these. Because the gifts and the effects are endless. They're what the Father's accomplishing in and through you as you fulfill your gift, as you fulfill your ministry. I'm sorry, as you exercise your gift and as you fulfill your ministry. I try to be consistent on those terms. Exercise your gift, fulfill your ministry. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of examples. Like, there's plenty of examples of ministries. We have examples, but we don't have exhaustive categories or catalog lists. Okay, other effects. I mean, just give me some effects here. Things that are done. Things that work things. Somebody gets saved. Yeah, how about that? Somebody gets saved. Get saved. Are you the one that does that? Who does that? God does that. That's right. Done. Somebody comes home. Uh-huh. A prodigal returns. Yeah. A prodigal returns. That's an effect. That may be an effect of a long, fervent prayer ministry. Maturing. Maturing is an effect. Everything that's accomplished in as a gift is being exercised, as a ministry is being fulfilled. All of the effects that take place. Intimacy. Yeah, growing together as a body. All right, next time we have this class, Jason's going to teach it. Growth. Yeah. All right. Encouragement? I thought that was a gift. I thought that was a ministry. It's all three. That's right. Encouragement. If somebody got encouraged, it may have been somebody with an encouragement gift. It may have been somebody with a pastor gift. It might have been somebody with a giving gift. And maybe they didn't have an encouraging ministry. They had a Bible pulpit Bible teaching ministry. They had a music ministry. They had a homeless ministry. They volunteer a soup kitchen, whatever they do. They've got ministries, and then there are effects. Good. What's that? A book got written. Yeah. A book being written. The key is a book. Book. God wrote. Book got wrote. We had fun in Greek tonight, too, with some of the double negatives and triple negatives and things. Yes, sir?
Is it possible that you could be coming in, like, say, you went to another church and it wasn't dark enough? Is it possible that you come into a church and the burden gets lifted? You just all of a sudden you're just relieved? You just got a certain burden off your shoulders?
Yes. Doors get closed all the time, and burdens get lifted all the time. Ministries come to an end. Every ministry has an ekphesis. And by the way, this, in a negative way, this actually can happen in divine discipline. If there's somebody you've been praying for, somebody you've been interceding for, and then all of a sudden that burden just dries up, disappears, goes away. And they stop coming to your mind, or you stop. What the Father's doing there is he's actually delivering them to another level of divine discipline where there's not even the blessings by association of having a brother praying for you. And so even that dries up, and discipline gets even worse. See, same thing can happen in terms of a burden or a conviction in a church membership that, you know what? It's just the Lord is closing this door. He's removing that sense of intimacy. He's removing that sense of family. There's just, yes, there's going to be people I'm going to miss, but I'm really just And it becomes a whole new burden. I'm really believing that I'm not supposed to be here anymore. And so that's an idea of a door closing. He's not going to close a door without opening another one. He's going to have a plan in the case of changing churches, for example. He's not going to close a ministry and just say, all right, you can be Joel Hermit Christian and live in a cave. But if he's closing a door by ending one ministry, then another one's going to be opened up. That's how he operates on that. Yes, sir?
Another effect.
Okay. You know, that's an effect. People start considering their gift, and then they get convinced of their gift, and then they get convicted that they got to do something about that gift, and they make a confession. Oh, yeah. Every step of the way here, the testing cranks up, but that's okay. It's the way it's supposed to work. All right? Those are all effects. Those are all effects in the outworking of a ministry. Excellent. Yes, ma'am. That's right. If, for example, I won't use myself, but some pastors, they stop being pastors and they do other things. I can't imagine. All right, but some pastors do. That's their calling. It's not mine. Yeah. And or Troy Swafford or Mark Griffin used to pastor in Oklahoma City. Now he's a missionary in Nigeria. Jim Myers used to pastor in New Mexico, and now he's a missionary. Or what about actually stepping, like George Meisinger, stepping down from a pulpit so as to head up a seminary? One door is closed and another door opens. George Meisinger is still a pastor teacher by gift because you can't lose your gift. You can't lose your salvation. The gifts and calling are without repentance. But the ministries, Jesus opens doors, Jesus closes doors. That's his business. Yes, each one of those events is an effect. Yeah. The ending of a ministry is an effect. Yeah, but the opening of a new ministry is also an effect. Yeah. So ministries open and close. The effects, we have nothing to do with. God does those through us. You guys are catching on very well. Very well. Appreciate that. Now, oh my goodness. Okay. I'm going to do one more thing. Let's not. Any other questions? Any other ideas? Any other? Is this something that would be useful in? Well, I'm not going to even phrase that. You can answer that yourself. Yes, it's useful. If it wasn't useful, you wouldn't be here. How can we share this usefulness and this excitement with folks who aren't here tonight or haven't been here for the last four sessions? How can you demonstrate that? You know what? This is pretty important. Okay, that's one way. What's another way? That's another way? Send them the spam emails with the links already in there for the audio messages. You know what? By applying it, by actually doing it. By actually doing it. The more believers actually serve and function in their gift and in their ministry, other believers look around and say, wow. That's what the Christian life is. You actually model it. You teach, and then you set the example. Yes, sir?
Do you think that a person that wants to find out what their gift is can kind of be led in a certain direction in their consideration phase by what open doors ministries have been in the front?
That is an amazing question. I want to repeat that for the MP3. Can people that are considering what their gift might be, can they be led to that consideration or can they be led to that conclusion by observing the open door ministries that they find themselves in? Absolutely. If they find over and over again for a year or 2 years or longer that this again and again and again, you know, they've led 30 people to Christ in the last 6 months. You know, I'm slow, but I'm not that slow. All right. If these open doors are there and you find that, you know what, it just seems that this opened up and that opened up and that opened up. And so, yes, open door ministries can be an indicator as to giftedness. Absolutely. It can be. Yes, sir?
Do you think that's actually a better indicator than any kind of natural ability?
Natural ability can be misleading, and also natural ability can be the direct opposite of what your gift really is. So, yes, it can. Open doors can be, but they're not the exclusive indicator. There should be a leading indicator, but not an exclusive indicator. You still want to be in prayer. You want to have counsel from older believers. You want to have the all the other factors we went into in learning what your spiritual gift is. That's right. Anything else? All right. Let me close in prayer, and we'll call this concluded. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for 1 Corinthians 12 and for the gifts and the ministries and effects. And Father, it is a powerful thing when a body of believers begin to function in the distributions of what is supplied. So Father, we pray for these folks here tonight and for folks that might hear this on subsequent events and recordings or wherever. Father, I pray that believers under conviction would have the courage to step up and receive the training, preparation, and availability to make use of their gifts to fulfill their ministries. And Father, in the meantime, I pray that we would stay in prayer for one another, that we would contribute to the needs of the saints through intercessory prayer. Not that we seek the gift in itself, but we seek the profit that increases to their account. And Father, what a delight it is going to be to see so many rewarded believers at the judgment seat of Christ. I thank you for that, Father, and I thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.